Nehemiah 6. Nehemiah's task is to oversee the rebuilding of the wall of Jerusalem. This was more than a picket fence around the house to make a place look a little bit better. It did make it look better after the Babylonian captivity, and they destroyed Jerusalem and destroyed the wall, and some have moved back into Jerusalem. Ezra saw to that. And Nehemiah is now working on the wall. And there's always opposition to God's work, no matter what. And there is with Nehemiah. That wall around Jerusalem had the idea of protection. In that day, you needed protection from the enemy. You need protection from wild animals and from that type of thing. So the wall being broken down was a disgrace, in that they were saying, we don't care about being protected. We don't care about the enemy. It was a thing of shame. If you read the first few chapters of this book, you'll find out that he's talking about the disgrace on Israel. That here they have the capital city, the spiritual city of the world, and the wall is broken down, and it seems like nobody cares. A broken down wall was a shame because, in essence, it was a symbol of a defeated people. And God's people were not to be defeated. So the rebuilding of the wall was important. And everyone who helped in the rebuilding of the wall was important. Those things being said, let's start reading in verse 1. Now it came to pass when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem, the Arabian, and the rest of our enemies, so we know who the enemy is already, heard that I builded the wall and that there was no breach left therein, though at that time I had not set up the doors upon the gates, that Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, they send a messenger or a note or a word to Nehemiah, and they say this, come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me mischief. They are acting like buddies. They're saying, let's get together and talk these things over. But Nehemiah's not dumb, and he knows that they have mischief in mind, and their primary goal is to stop the building of the wall. Verse 3. Notice what it says. And I sent messengers unto them, saying, I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and come down to you? Yet they sent unto me four times after this sort, and I answered them after the same manner. Then sent Sanballat his servant unto me like matter the fifth time with an open letter in his hand, wherein was written, it is reported among the brethren that Geshemu saith it, that thou and the Jews think to rebel, which cause thou biddest the wall, that thou mayest be their king according to these words. So these enemies of God and Nehemiah send to Nehemiah and say, come on, let's discuss some things. We want to be pals. We can work things out. And Nehemiah says, I don't have time to come and talk to you. The job that I'm doing, the rebuilding of the walls, is too important for me to leave the work and come and talk to you. So we find here that Nehemiah has a project going. It's going well. And he's done that because he's put every man at a certain place along the wall and given every person a certain task to do. That means that every person working on this wall is vitally important, and their space in the wall, their place on the wall, is very important. And he looks across this wall and he sees all the people that's working that he has, through prayer and thought and planning, placed in each place strategically. And here comes Sanballat and Tobias sending the message and saying, come on down. Well, he can't ignore it. If he ignores it, they're going to come and probably attack. They're trying to disrupt the work. So Nehemiah knows, I must send someone to these men with an answer from me. So my question is this, who did he choose? Now verse 3 says, I sent messengers unto them, saying. He sent someone, but who? I want to try and preach on the messengers tonight. The messengers with a mission. And I thought about this, if I was Nehemiah, and I'm building the wall, and it's going well, and I do not want it hindered, and it's too important to stop myself, it's too important to listen, to take anybody off their wall, off their spot, out of their job, and send them down to Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem. So who did he choose? I believe he chose someone who could do the job. Listen, but I don't think he sent the best. And I don't think he sent the brightest. I don't think he sent the smartest. I don't think he sent the strongest. Because he needed those people to work on the wall. But he sent somebody. Maybe somebody that wasn't quite as smart as most. Maybe somebody that didn't have all their French fries in their order. Maybe he sent somebody that couldn't do some things, but could do this thing. I want to tell you this evening that the task of choosing who to send wasn't easy. He had to send someone, and he had to send someone he could trust. He couldn't just grab anybody. He couldn't just pick up anybody and say, go and do this. The task is too important. So I want to look this evening about who he was looking at and how he chose the messengers he sent. I believe as he looked across the crowd to decide who to pick to send as messengers, he looked at those who were acquainted. I thought about this. He probably would not just grab someone he did not know. Now, there's no doubt Nehemiah was a man of prayer, and he listened to the Spirit, and God could have pinpointed somebody he had never seen before, but I don't think that's what happened. I believe Nehemiah looked over those candidates that he had and the men that were available, and he picked out somebody he knew, someone he was acquainted with. Someone he knew he could trust, because even though this task, if you will, is a meager task, I mean, you're walking and bringing back the message. That's not real difficult. Most people could do that. But he still wants someone he could trust, so he finds somebody he's acquainted with, someone he knows, I can trust this person with this task. And I thought about this, God knows me. And God knows you. We are acquainted with him and he's acquainted with us. He knows who I am and he knows what I am and he knows me better than I know me. And he knows where he wants me to be. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our issues. He knows our limitations. But he also knows what he could do through us if we would let him. I'm talking about there's a task. Someone needs to go with the message and bring back what the response is. It's from Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem. It's an important job, but it's not the most important job. And I believe he chose somebody who he was acquainted with. Someone who was reliable. Someone he knew he could trust. They were acquainted, but I believe also they were agreeable. I promise you one thing, as he looked across the crowd of candidates for this job, he did not pick out the person who was always against everything, who always checked the X box instead of the yes box, who always was against every project, who always was critical, who always said we can't do it, who always said I don't think that's the right way. He looked across the candidates, and I guarantee you one thing, he found somebody who was agreeable, who had a mindset like his, who was loyal not to just to Nehemiah as a man, not even to the project, the wall, but to God. He looked for somebody who was agreeable, someone who said, yes, I will do it because I agree with what you're doing. It's one thing to go. It's one thing to say, I'll go, but I don't want to. And I don't think this project's worthy. I think it's a whole waste of time. And that bad person could probably do it, but it wouldn't be the right attitude. Nehemiah looked for somebody who was agreeable, who agreed with the project, agreed with the wall, agreed with Nehemiah, agreed with God, and agreed with the fact that this is an important job. My job may not be as important as some, but it's important. Carrying a message may not be as valuable as some, but it's important. They were acquainted. They were agreeable. I think number three, they were available. I don't think Nehemiah left the crowd to go hunting for somebody to do this job. It was amongst the crowd that was, listen, already there doing what they could to enhance the project and to make sure the job was done. I don't think he put it on Facebook or Craigslist. We need a messenger. Sign up. Apply online. We'll check your resume. I think he chose from those that were available. Somebody who was willing to say, I just want to do something. I am here and I'm available. If I get a big job, I'll try my best. If I get a little job, I'll still try my best. I'm just available. I'm willing to do whatever I can do to do my part, whatever the Lord, whatever Nehemiah says, I'm willing, I'm available, because they understood the importance of that message getting through was vital. Oh, it wasn't a big job, but it's an important job, because again, if that message doesn't get through, Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem's coming, and there's going to be trouble on the way. And the project of building the wall will be hindered. So they were available. There was somebody there who said, I am willing to do it. I am here. And by the way, I've just been here ready to do anything you want me to do. Just whatever Nehemiah needs done, I am willing to do it. And they had to be available to do it. He says, they say, whatever. Put me on the wall. Put me on the road. I don't care. Give me a trial or give me a letter. Give me a message and I'll do it. I'll do whatever I can. If I'm mixing mud, I'll mix mud. If I'm carrying stones, I'll carry stones. Whatever you want me to do, I'm available. Whether I'm the supervisor or the servant, or whether I'm the Lord of the project or I'm the laborer, I'm available. I'm willing. Oh, that'll be our desire and our attitude about serving God. If you need to be recognized before you do anything, you probably ain't going to get a whole lot to do. Because, by the way, the Lord's the one that opens and closes doors. He's the one that gives us the projects that we are available for. So if we have to have something big and bright and flashy and get recognized, we may not do a whole lot. They were available. They had to be willing to make sure the message got through. And by the way, they had no idea what they were going into. Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem are not their friends. And they know they aren't. And they don't know what they're facing, but they're willing to do whatever God wants them to do. Whatever Nehemiah says, they're willing, they're available. They know they can trust God, and they know they can trust Nehemiah, so they're available. Whatever I can do to help. Oh, my. How a pastor would love to have a church full of people like that. Whatever I can do, preacher, I'll be glad to do it. I mean, listen, clean the pews, mow the yard, clean the toilets, sing, play, preach, teach. Whatever I can do, I'm willing to try it. I'm available. These people were not only acquainted and agreeable and available, I believe they were able. I mean, there were 25 miles between them and Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem. 25 miles. So you know for sure, crippled man couldn't do it. He can't drag himself 25 miles there and 25 miles back. And it says there that there were five times that they went. So that's 25, 25, 25, 25. That's a lot of walking. So a person who could not walk wouldn't be able. So Nehemiah is looking for somebody who's available and somebody he's acquainted with and somebody he can trust. But he's also looking for somebody who can do it, who is able. Because there's some there that couldn't. They could not do it. They were not equipped. They were not able. By the way, it'll be a good day in your life when you find out there's some things you can't do. It'll be a good day in other people's lives when you find out there's something you can't do. Some people, and there ain't nobody here, but some people who think they can sing ain't got their calling straight, I guarantee you. That went over real good, but it's still the truth. Some people who, there's some people trying to do something they cannot do, and it's not just the fact that they can't do it, but God doesn't want them to do it. We need to be willing to do God's will. They were able. They could not organize the operation, but they could carry the message. They could not lift the load, perhaps, but they could carry the message. They could not set the stones. They didn't have the wherewithal or the ability to do that. They were not able. They perhaps couldn't even mix the mud. Maybe they weren't strong enough to do that. They could not survey the structure. They probably couldn't even bake the bread to feed the laborers. But they could walk. They were able to take the message and bring back the response. And listen, God enables us to do what He wants us to do. You say, I can't. Well, you're right, but you're wrong. Because with God's ability, you can. We can do what God wants us to do. He will make us able to do what He wants us to do. You can and I can because God can. And when He works through us, He enables us. He makes us able because He is able. Philippians 2:13, for it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I can do whatever the Lord wants me to do because He's in me doing it. Nehemiah looked for somebody who could do it. They were able. They were acquainted. They were agreeable. They were available. They were able. I think they were attentive. Now, the last time it says, and the fifth time he came back with an open letter. But the best I can tell, and you help me out with this, the time 1, 2, 3, and 4, there's no letter mentioned and there's no writing mentioned, so implied in that to me, there were words. Nehemiah said, go to him, go to them, and here's what I want you to tell them. And then when he went and told them, or they went and told them, they had to listen to the response of these men and come back to Nehemiah with the response. So they had to be attentive. They had to listen closely because they had to get it right. Well, I guarantee you, Nehemiah wouldn't send me. I'd come back and I'd say, I ain't really sure what he said. I think he said, but I don't remember. I think he said, okay, but I ain't really sure. And they're already attacking because I got the wrong message. They had to be attentive. Whoever went with the message had to listen to Nehemiah. They had to listen carefully. They had to listen closely. They had to listen correctly. And get it right and remember it to where they could speak it right because the message is important. And when Nehemiah sent back and said, I ain't got time to go. I got a work too important. They had to get the message right. They had to be attentive. And listen, we need to, if we're going to do God's will, have an ear toward Him. Be attentive to His voice, to His word, to His spirit. We need to learn how to listen to Him and be open to Him and obedient to Him and listen closely and listen correctly and listen clearly. You see, they went, to be honest, probably a little bit scared and maybe a lot scared because they know they're not going to their best buddy's house. They're going to an enemy and telling this enemy something he does not want to hear. So they are probably going scared. But they're doing it. And sometimes we'll have to do God's will even though we're scared. I promise you, I've told you before, my life is being scared and then thanking the Lord that it's over. Almost every time I get in this pulpit, I'm at least a little nervous. But I want to tell you one thing. If I go preach somewhere else, I am scared to death. Knee-knocking scared. Scared to death. But the message is important enough to do it. They need to be attentive to where they listen closely. And even though they went scared, they had to go and do the right thing and tell the right message and get the response and bring it back. So they had to listen to Nehemiah closely and get Nehemiah's message right, listening to God, getting his message. But when they went to Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem, they had to listen to them and get their response right. You know what? We need to learn to listen to the Lord, but we need to learn to listen to the devil's voice. Not that we talk with them or converse with them, but that, as I've said so many times, that when the devil speaks to us, we know, hey, that's the devil. That is the devil. I'm not listening to him. He's a liar. He's trying to get me to do something dumb. He's trying to lead me into his trap. I am not listening. We need to learn how to listen to God and also listen to the devil. We need to be attentive. And the, by the way, Nehemiah, as far as I can tell, sent the same message 5 times. His message didn't change. I wonder, they went out the second time and the third time and the fourth time and the fifth time. They said, it's the same message. Why in the world can't Nehemiah at least send something different? I'm getting bored with this same message. No, they were attentive, and they said what Nehemiah said, and they came back with a response that came from the enemy. And they said it right because they listened. They were acquainted and agreeable and available and able and attentive. But I believe also they were abused. Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem, I said already, they were not their best buddies. They were enemies. They were against it. Chapter 6, verse 2 said, but they thought to do me mischief. They were saying, oh, Nehemiah, come on, let's sit down and talk a while. Let's be buddies. Let's learn to get along. But Nehemiah knew these people are not my friends. They are my enemy. They mean to do me mischief. And now Nehemiah sending these messengers to these men, I guarantee you they did not get a warm welcome. They were probably abused verbally, maybe physically. I don't know. But I know this, Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem were not happy to see them come and hear the message that came from Nehemiah. Because they wanted to hinder the project and hurt the cause of God. And verse 5 and verse 6 of chapter 6 said, we've heard about Nehemiah. You want to start a rebellion and go away from the control of Babylon and start your own kingdom again. You be the king. We know what you're trying to do. There's no doubt these people were abused, and sometimes we'll get abused. Sometimes the world doesn't like us. The people around us don't like us. Sometimes our neighbors don't treat us right because we love the Lord and live for Him, but there's still a task to be done. Sometimes people in the church will abuse you. Hey, that doesn't mean the task is less important. We need to be willing to do God's will in spite of the abuse. They were acquainted, they were agreeable, they were available, they were able, they were attentive, they were abused. I believe also for sure they were accountable. Nehemiah sent them with the message. They gave the message, got the response, brought it back, and they had to report to Nehemiah what they told him, them, and what they told him in response. They were accountable. They had to report back to Nehemiah, and there is no doubt in my mind, Nehemiah said, what exactly did he say? What exactly did Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem say? What exactly? Tell me what happened. Tell me about the trip. Tell me about your return. Tell me what they said. They were accountable for the task at hand. And I'll tell you one thing, we are accountable for the task God has for us. Whether we're doing it or not, we'll be accountable for it. Listen, if you can sing and you're supposed to sing and you don't sing, you're accountable. If you can teach and you have a time to teach and you don't teach, you're accountable. If you can do whatever you can do and you don't do it, you're accountable. We are accountable for what we do and what we don't do that we should have done. We'll stand before the Lord and give an account of what we've done. And we will gain or lose rewards because of our faithfulness to the task He had for us. The task He has for you. Oh, your task may not be big. It may not be the important, the bright, and the glorious. But you've got a task, and your task is important. I'll say lastly, they were acquainted, they were agreeable, they were available, they were able, they were attentive, they were abused, they were accountable. I think also they were appreciated. Now, I don't know if everybody did. I don't know if they came back to camp every time and they said, oh boy, here comes the messengers. Good job, fellas. Keep up the good work. I don't know if they got that kind of appreciation. But I do know this. I believe this. I'll put it that way. I think when Nehemiah saw them come back and they sit down and these messengers told Nehemiah what the response was from the enemy, I believe Nehemiah said, fellas, I want to tell you something. I appreciate you. Listen, you didn't argue when I asked you to do this task. You didn't complain. You didn't say, why are you sending me? Why don't you send somebody else? Isn't there something else I can do? Isn't there something more important than I can do? There's no doubt their attitude wasn't that way, and I believe Nehemiah appreciated that. I believe they were grateful for what these servants, these messengers were willing to do. I don't know if everybody was, but I do believe with all my heart Nehemiah was, and I know for sure God was. They were appreciated. By the way, if you got to have a thank you, bless your heart. If you got to have a pat on the back, bless your heart. I know preachers who have preached at their churches for years, the church they preached at, and some people have never said, boy, I appreciate that message, preacher. I tell you what, that's hard on a preacher. And listen, there are times when you need to just tell somebody, tell that singer, tell that instrument player, tell that person, that Christian, that teacher, whatever, tell them, I appreciate you. I'm thankful for what you do. I believe they were appreciated. People said, thank you. Maybe they got to feeling unimportant. Maybe they left on their journey and came back and the project had progressed so much. And they looked around and they said, look at all that's happened since we've been gone. And we didn't help a bit. I didn't build the stones. I didn't mix the mud. I didn't do a thing. Maybe they felt unappreciated. Maybe they felt like their job wasn't important. But I want to say again, it was. It was vitally important. And the job you do, the job has for you, is vitally important. We need you. And your job can't be done without you. No one else can fill your place. You may not have the biggest job, the most important job, but you got some job, and it's important. You may not feel like the smartest, and you may not be. You may not feel like the most equipped, and you may not be. You may not feel like you're the best looking. I got that covered, so you can't be the best looking. You may not have personality plus, but you've got a job, and you can do it because God will equip you to do it. And what you do is important. We not only need you, we can't do it without you. Carrying a message and bringing back and carrying a message and bringing back and carrying a message five times seems so insignificant, but it was vitally important. And whatever you're doing is important, and we need you. You have a work to do, and that work is important, and the job can't get done without you. But I ask you this question. Are you doing it? Are you doing it? Wonder what would have happened if these people carrying the messages the fourth time said, I am not going back. Forget this. Doing the same little thing, meager thing, unimportant thing, and nobody hardly has said thank you. It doesn't seem like we're doing the thing, and they just quit. And right before the wall was completely finished, the enemy attacked and broke it down again. You have a job, and it's important. No matter how little you feel, you're not little in the family of God. Are you doing it? Are you available? Is your attitude right? Let's stand together. Mindy, if you'll come.